We're doing the Ramban, Drashat Torah, Hashem Temima, and we're up to page Kuf Samiches, in the Rambam, in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. So the Ramban has been telling us about the different aspects of knowledge that the Torah enlightens us. Ve'oda Torah mirat einayim, and the Torah also enlightens us ba'atidot, with regard to the future. Ve'anu yodin, and we know, she'en kol hanviim ve'lo sefer Daniel, Mefurashim bagalut hazeh. All the prophets, the book of Daniel, they don't explicitly say about this exile, uvacherim shavu aleinu, and other exiles that have passed upon us, uvegula atida yoter mitorat Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom, shei torat Hashem tmima. All these books, even though sometimes they seem to indicate when's this exile going to end, the book of Daniel seems to speak about it overtly. But the rule is that they don't tell us more than the Torah itself. For the Torah is God's Torah and it is whole. So even though sometimes it seems like the answer, you want to know when's this exile going to be over, look in the book of Daniel. Look in the book of the prophets. So the Ramban says you have to know that the secrets that are in the prophets are for sure in the Torah. And the prophets don't outdo the Torah in this respect as well. Kilomar shishlema bakol. When we say the Torah is temima, it is whole, it means it is complete, it is whole in every aspect. Bechokhma, be it with wisdom, uvechol davar, and in anything, velo yechsar kol ba. And it isn't lacking anything. Kmo shamar pasuk, lo techsar kol ba. Just like the verse says about the land of God, that it's a land where you'll be lacking nothing, so too the Torah is lacking nothing. Vehine. Now the Ramban is going to explain. Betchilat ha'itzira ramaz shnot ha'olam. In the beginning of creation, God alluded to how many years this world would be. B'shisha yimim nivra ha'olam. The world was created in 6 days. Uma talmud lomar. What was it coming to teach us that creation took 6 days? Like the Mishnah in the 5th chapter, the beginning of the 5th chapter of Pirkei Avos tells us, why did God create the world in 6 days? The world could have been created in one saying. God could have just said, the world should be created, and bam, the world would be created in 1 second. Why did it take 6 days? But this is an illusion. God alluded to that which our sages taught us, Shita al peshana havi alma, that the world is going to be around for 6,000 years. Vechad chariv, and then for 1,000 it's going to be destroyed. Vechen amu b'masechet tamid, and so to our sages taught us in the tractate Tamid, Bashvi'i, on the 7th day, what would the Levim sing in the Beis HaMikdash? Hayumrim mizmor shir liyom haShabbat. They'd sing a song of praise for the day of Sabbath, Mizmor Shir La'atid Lavo Liyom Shekulo Shabbat, a song in honor of the future, in honor of that day that is a complete Sabbath, that's a complete Sabbath and rest, Umnucha L'chayei Olamim, for the eternal life of the worlds. Kmo Shanu Atidim Lever, as we will explain, V'haynu. And what do we mean? Dichtiv ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem tashmayim v'taharetz. The verse says God created the heaven and the earth 6 days. So you'd say it means in 6 days God created the heaven and the earth. But it doesn't say in 6 days God created the heaven and the earth. It says God created the heaven and the earth 6 days. Ve'ino chaser bet, and there's no bays missing there. That word in 6 days, that word in, the bays, is not missing there. Kmo shamu ha'mefarshim, like some of the commentaries wanted to say. Ela remez, but rather God was alluding, ki sheshet yamim hem yimei ha'shamayim va'aretz, that the world was created for 6 days. We know in God's time, a day is 1,000 years. That's what the verse says in Tehillim. So when the verse says, for 6 days God created the heaven and the earth, it means to exist 6 days in godly time, 6,000 years.
So he created it in 6,000 years?
No. He created it for the purpose of remaining extant in this fashion for 6,000 years. The world, the way we know it, will be around for 6,000 years. So our sages tell us that. And this is already alluded in the beginning of creation. V'atem yodim kishnot ha-shmita kimei ha-shavua. And you know that the years of the Shemitah cycle also correspond to the days of the week. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu bachar b'yom ha-shvi'i u'v'shana ha-shvi'it u'v'chodesh ha-shvi'i. God, our sages teach us that God loves the number 7. God chose the 7th day, Shabbos. God chose the 7th year, Shemitah. And God chose the 7th month, the month of Tishrei, that on that month, God, so to speak, gets crowned. That's when God's kingship is declared overtly. V'u Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha-kippurim. That is the day of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, when we all take a day to stand and exalt and recognize that God is king over the world, and Yom Kippur. V'hineh ha-shmitah, apar pishu mechu ve'ilavin. And the Shemitah, that 7th year that we're supposed to let the land rest, even though technically it's allowed. It's a biblical prohibition, like any other prohibition. You say maybe it's as stringent as other prohibitions. Who said it's more stringent? No, it's more stringent. Echmir ba'katuv biyotel. The verse went very far in telling us the weight of this prohibition. Dichtim. You're not allowed to work the land. It says, "Uvashana shviit shnat shabaton tiel laaretz lo tizrau ve'lo tiktzru et kitzur." Right?
Yeah.
The Torah prohibits. Don't harvest. Don't take the grapes. The Torah prohibits us from working the land on the 7th year. So it's not like any other prohibition, but rather it is more weighty because the Torah tells us if you keep the Shemitah good, and if not, the Torah says over this prohibition, the people get exiled from the land of Israel. And then the Torah says, "Dichtiv az tirtzar tzechabitotea." Then the land will get paid back all the years you should have let it rest. You didn't let it rest. God says, "I'll exile you," and then it will rest. If you look in Rashi, throughout Tanakh, Rashi tells us a few times how to make the calculation. How do we do the math to figure out that the 70 years we were in exile were all the years that we didn't keep Shemitah when we were in the land of Israel. Rashi does the math in the Torah, and Rashi does it in Melachim, and Rashi does it in the Nevi'im. A few times Rashi does the math and shows us how the 70 years of exile were a fulfillment of this prohibition and this warning that God said, if you don't keep the Shemitah, then I'll let the land rest. All those years you should have let it rest. So the Ramban says, you see, the Torah gives us extra weight when it comes to the prohibition of Shemitah. As tishbot haaretz v'yotzat et shabtoteha, then the land will rest and it will, so to speak, get paid back. It will get the rest it deserves. V'kafal ze pa'amim rabot, and the Torah repeats this numerous times. U'v'sof chazal v'kafal, and then ultimately the Torah repeats it again and says v'haaretz te'azev mehem v'tiretz et shabtoteha, and the land will be free from them. They will leave the land, and the land will be paid back. The days of rest it is owed. Lilmod ki al onesh shvi'it galut ba laolam. To teach us that as a punishment for shvi'is, the exile comes to the world. V'chein tireh miseder chumash shetorat kohanim. And so too you could see when you look at the order of the book of Vayikra, the book of Torat Kohanim, shenireh kedavar sheino mesudar. At first glance, it seems like the book of Vayikra is out of order. And why does it seem out of order? Sheitchil bo el moed. The Torah begins the book of Vayikra telling us about the oel moed, Vayikra al Moshe. Vayinyan hazeh ken usiduron. If you want to understand the book of Vayikra, this is the order. Shepiresh mash nemar lo besinai minyan ha-mishkan, v'samach lo she'asu Yisrael kasher nitztavu, v'sharta alav shechina bo'ol moed she'asu, v'kara Moshe me'ol moed. The Torah tells us like this. In the book of Shmos, we end the book of Shmos with the concept of the teachings of Sinai, how to build the Mishkan, right? That's Truma Tetzaveh, that's Vayakhel Pekudei. And then Vayakhel Pekudei really tells us how the Jews did what God commanded about building the Mishkan, and tells us how the Shekhinah came and rested in the oil moed. That's the very end of the book of Shmos. And then the book of Vayikra begins, V'kara Moshe me'ol moed. God called Moshe from Ohel Moed, v'tzivahu al inyan korbanot sheyasu sham. God commanded him, what are the sacrifices that should be brought there? Ki lechach nasa mishkan. That's what the Mishkan was made for. So the book of Vayikra is a direct continuation from Shmos. V'chol ze seder she'en ho'i lafsik bo. So this is an order that really you shouldn't pause throughout that. U'chshir shlim inyan korbanot. So the book of Vayikra goes through all the different laws of the korbanot. And once it finishes telling us all the different korbanot, Chazal inyan ha-taharot, then the book of Vayikra goes back to tell us the laws of purity, right? We have Vayikra Tzav, Shemini tells us about the building of the Mishkan and the sacrifices that were brought, the completion and the bringing of the sacrifice. And then we go into the laws of purity again. Tazria, Mitzora, right? Because the concept of purity is very relevant to the Kohanim. They have to be pure in order to serve in the Ohel Moed. So Vayikra is coming off of the erection of the Ohel Moed. After they built the Ohel Moed, so then we have the sacrifices in the beginning of Vayikra. We finish with the sacrifices, we go on to the laws of purity. V'hem amorim inyanei tzarat v'aziva. And they're the ones who teach when it comes to the laws of purity, of tzaras, of ziva. Piresh gam dinei ha'machalim asurim mipnei tumatan. So once we're discussing things that are pure and impure, so the Torah tells us the laws of which animals are pure, which foods are edible, and which foods are non-kosher. Shanvelot mitamot, if you eat a carcass of an animal, so that also causes a person to be spiritually defiled. And whoever enters the holy has to be pure from those defilements. So all of this is considered the Torah of the Kohanim. That's why the book of Vayikra is called Torah's Kohanim. And when he finished telling us all the laws of Kohanim, Chazal asof l'inyan ha-shmitah v'ayovel. Then the Torah goes back to which point? Shmita and Yovel. Sheneemar, because kodem lachen be'ar Sinai, that the whole concept of Shmita and Yovel was said at Sinai. Remember, the book of Shmos tells us Sinai, the building of the Mishkan, and then we go to the laws of the Mishkan. And the laws of the Mishkan are the korbanos, and then the laws of purity. And when we finish all of that, we have Parshas Behar, which tells us again, Behar Sinai is the laws of Shemitah. That goes back to Har Sinai, where we left off in the end of Shmos. And then we have the laws of Shemitah and the rebukes at the end of Bechukosai, the end of the book of Vayikra. V'klalam basof, and then to encompass all of it, he said a general rule, Eila mitzvot ha-chukim ha-mishpatim ha-torot. These are the laws, these are the statutes, these are the mitzvos, these are the directives that God gave us. V'chazal v'itchid v'chumash ha-pkudim. And so then we start a new thing in the book of Bamidbar, v'idaber Hashem en Moshe b'midbar Sinai, bo'ol moed shechazal l'inyan v'ikra. He goes back to the concept of God speaking to Moshe out of ol moed, just like the book of Vayikra began, sheshna chumashim ol moed. These two books, Vayikra and Bamidbar, were set from ol moed. The Kevan Shekenu, being that is the order, Shekenu said, Lama kata shmita v'yovel b'kan b'toch ha-dvarim b'ol moed. If that's the order, then why is Shemitah over here, among the things God taught out of Ol Moed? Kedei she'yismechem na'arayot. In order to align the laws of Shemitah with the laws that are said in the end of Kedoshim, Achrimos Kedoshim. The end of Achrimos Kedoshim are the prohibited women, a person is not allowed to marry his sister, he's not allowed to marry his daughter, etc. All the different laws of which women one's prohibited from marrying. And the Torah says, and if you maintain these laws and maintain the family structure the Torah wanted, velotaki aretz etchem, the land won't spit you out. Lomal to teach us, shafonish hashmita gorem galut. That's why it's aligned. Why is Shemitah mentioned in the book of Vayikra? To align it with the prohibition of maintaining the family structure. Don't break the family structure that the Torah wanted, and then you won't be kicked out of the land. And also keep the Shemitah, because if you don't, then Shemitah is another thing that causes the people to be kicked out of the land. And this that the Psukim tells about letting the land go fallow is explicit in Chronicles. It says in Chronicles like this, God said, you're going to be in Babylon 70 years. Then the land will get paid back all the 70 years you didn't keep the Shemitah. Because the concept of Yovel, the concept of letting the land lay fallow, is testimonial to the fact that God created the world and that there's a new thing that God created. It's not like it's always been around. These are the fruits of our emunah. And here there's really the deep secret of the Torah, how we count Yovel. So, Be'ezrat Hashem here, we'll pick up next time.